This podcast contains adult language. DigitalDarren.com. Today is September 2nd, 2014. Calhoun with me.
What's going on, D?
Chilling. This is week one picks and kicks. And for those of you guys who are new to listening to the show and don't know what picks and kicks is, we explained it with Linda Seth in college football. But long story short, picks and kicks is what we do pretty much every week. And of course you can guess that the picks we pick the lines. In the NFL, we pick the straight-up winner and the lines. In college, we just pick a straight-up winner. So in the NFL, you'll hear us give out two picks, who gonna win the game, and the betting line. The kicks part is that we kick it about something, normally the previous week or trends in the league or just interesting topics related to the NFL. So this week, we're going to kind of mix a couple of things together. Our kicks part of it is going to be the Falcons and the Hard Knocks. For everybody who know, Falcons been on Hard Knocks. It's been five episodes. And tonight, we just saw the last episode. It's basically dealing around cuts and who made the team, who didn't get cut. And so, real quickly, before we get into the picks part, what did you think of the show?
I think it was garbage. I think you're going to see. You see automatically how we're going to end up in the predicament we're in. You know what I mean? Like you see when a kid go to jail. What happened? Where did he go wrong? We just seen how what happened and what went wrong. For one, I'm amazed they kept Tyler Starr. Now, you remember the last podcast, what I said? He's definitely cut. Well, this week in the game, he showed out, right? Wrong. Well, in practice, he showed out, right? Wrong. So, we got another linebacker who can't rush to the passer, who can't make plays. Great job, Thomas Dimitrov and Mike Smith.
He's a special teamer, but I wanted to stick on linebackers real quick. They cut Pat Anger, and he's...
Why would you cut him?
On a team that has no experience at linebacker, or very little experience at linebacker, he's probably the most experienced person. Because like he said, I think he told Mike Smith this was his fifth going on sixth year in the league or something like that. So.
Why would you cut him and keep Tyler Starr?
Well, Starr's here for special team purposes, but...
Nah, I'll tell you what happened. Starr got his job because of Hard Knocks. I bet you. It trailed this since it started. He started this. This is one of the storylines. We're going to show you this guy, the struggles of a white guy in America. Yeah, trying to make a football team. See, they're the minority there. You see that? And we're going to take Tyler Starr, who is... who doesn't live up to his name. He's not a star. And we're going to go ahead and get him an old job. And we're going to have Tyler Starr. For all Atlanta fans, imagine this. What if Tyler Starr is on the right side and Corey Beerman's on the left side?
Oh, ho. You got a whitewash.
You got a whitewash, all right. You got a white right in the left. They washed up. They are washed up.
Tyler Starr is going to be a special team. I think that the thing you saw throughout the series is that his ability to try, his willingness to try to get
better. Nobody care about hustlers. Nobody gives a shit about it. I can try to lose weight. I ain't lost none yet. Nobody gives a shit about trying. It's about doing. Nobody cares about A for effort. Not in the real world. That's what you teach. You tell your kids that. It's not how you play the game. It's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. No, it's not. It's whether you win or lose. And when you construct the roster like that, Thomas Dimitrov, Mike Smith, you're going to be looking for... You know what? That's why I don't even need to get excited. Because next year, they'll be cut anyway. Because the new guy who's going to come in, they'll already be gone. I'm pretty sure. I bet Scott Pioli just laying back like, yeah, keep him.
All right. So let me ask you this. Because while we're talking about cuts, some of the people they did cut were very questionable. Like you, I think Tyler Starr was one of the ones they kept that kind of surprised us.
No, that was baffling.
They cut Ricardo Allen, and he was a fifth-round pick. So Thomas Dimitrov basically burned a pick. I mean, I know they say they're going to bring him back on the practice squad, but other teams are getting people who are contributing on a weekly basis from fifth-round picks. The great teams.
You build your team between the third and the sixth round, correct?
That's what they say.
And you got somebody in the fifth round who you cut, but you kept somebody. Did they even draft Tyler Starr?
I don't think so. If they did, it was seventh round.
I don't. Please, Arthur Blank. Please. Please, for your money and your fanhood, go ahead and do what you got to do with this Mike Smith and this Thomas Dimitrov.
Hey, you noticed when Blank was in the, he was saying there may be some players on the team still there. Notice he didn't say the coach or the GM would be there.
Because they're not going to be there.
They'll be in the new stadium.
They're not going to be there. They're not going to. You know what it is? Moses in the promised land. Moses never made it.
He just got to see it.
Moses, God took him up there, look and behold, this is wrong with you, not going to go in. They see all the players, and yeah, we knocked it down. You made it a second-rate team. Like the old lady said, you won't touch, you won't get a Slurpee out that stadium, buddy. Leave that to us. Awful, man.
All right, what else stood out to you? Like, what cuts and other things?
The Pat Angerer. Angerer.
Pat Angerer.
How do you not keep him? We have, so Witherspoon is out. Shimbo's a rookie. Bartow's a second-year player. Werlow's a second-year player. Who's our other linebacker?
And Corey Bierman playing linebacker with the 3-4.
So it doesn't even matter, does it? I mean, why would you not keep him? Why? So, and as you said with the kid Ricardo, you wasted your draft pick. But more than that, he wasn't sucking. He had talent. He made a few plays. But we're going to – I'll tell you who else. The Runk kid. I thought
– Cupcake. Yeah, I thought –
Cupcake had a pretty good – camp. He bowled over. He rolled Joe Holly. I thought he had a pretty good camp. I thought he was going to make the cut. You cut
that
him.
They should at least put him on the practice squad.
At least. But I don't know. You can't make – you can't – boy, with these two, it's like we got two of the three Stooges. Who's in charge of our team?
I wanted to stay on that real quick because when they were doing the cuts, why was Thomas Dimitrov in there? And I'm not even saying that to be a jerk. Like, Mike Smith was engaging, shaking hands, giving jerk. Dimitrov was just sitting over to the side doing nothing, just shake the hand when they got up. That was a little, if it was me, I would be like, why the fuck is he in here? the fact that you're cutting me, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Absolutely no reason for
it. I understand Mike Smith because Mike Smith was, hey, you know, you got to, if you're going to come, you want to say something small, talk or whatever.
Well, he's the coach and you should. Here's my thing. Having Thomas Dimitrov, you know, having him choosing your roster is like entrusting your a blind man with a gun and you in a hostage situation. Somebody got you by the neck and you're saying, shoot him. And the guy is blind with a gun.
So, Steve Wonder.
You want him to shoot? Do you hear? No, talk about it, Steve. No, I got it. No, let's just talk. You don't want him to pull the trigger? He can't, nah. So it's the same with Thomas Dimitrov. They painted this roster. We're going to do 10 today and 10 tomorrow? Yeah, that's the plan. I was looking at it like, oh my God, here we go. I'm telling you, I think they kept the boy for Hard Knocks, though. I think that was part of the show. Because if you notice, they're walking with him as he gets the phone call. Their head. He was one of the unbelievably... Tyler Starr was one of the headliners on Hard Knocks. You believe that? You do if you saw it. Now, isn't that pathetic? It is, right? Was he not?
He would be one of the main storylines.
They followed him from before he came down here until he finally get the call. They followed this kid. For what reason? I have no idea.
The Falcons aren't talented enough to burn picks for Hard Knocks. So they, if they're keeping them, keeping them for a purpose.
No. Clearly, I bet he's a Hard Knock pick. He sucked. and forget Hard Knocks. We watched the games. Tyler Starr sucked with the third and the fourth strings. He sucks. So we don't have enough talent to keep players like that on this roster. We don't. And what you don't do is cut someone like Ricardo Allen, put him on practice squad. and Tyler Starr is your starter. I'd be pissed.
He's starting on special teams.
I would be pissed if I was Ricardo Allen or Cupcake. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I really thought they should have killed Cupcake. Cupcake, really? He might can't do everything on special teams like Tyler Starr can, but.
Well, they can't keep him for because they got 20 other mediocre players at D tackle, so that's why they couldn't keep him probably. Just out of sheer numbers.
I think that's what they were saying, but still they could have signed some practice squad.
So what are your thoughts on who they couldn't?
I'm with you. I think they should have kept Cupcake. I think they should have kept Ricardo Allen. If nothing else, he should have had that special team spot. I hope they bring back the wide receiver Amsterdam. I think that they could use him.
I think they're gonna cut him though.
I hope they don't. I also think that they should have kept Paul Anger. That's the main one. Like, why the fuck?
Why would you bring him in?
Just to cut him.
That made no sense.
I mean, that was the one guy I was like, at least we got something. I was like, I didn't think he was great, but I was like, at least we got somebody who knows something with Paul Anger. So it's not just Warlock and the rest of that bunch running around.
On a side note, we couldn't keep him because you know how many DNs we got?
About four.
We have eight.
OC, Corey Beerman.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm.
Malachi Goodman. They have Mponga. Jonathan Massaquoi. Cliff Matthews.
I didn't know about. I forgot about him.
Hagerman. They have him as a 3-4 DN.
Okay.
Tyson Jackson. They have as a DN.
Oh, yeah. Tyson Jackson. I forgot about him.
They have eight DNs. Three D-tech. We have 11. We have a whole side of the ball.
Dedicated to D-line.
And out of these D-linemen, who's a star?
What about OC? We forgot to say OC.
Who's a star? You have 11 guys. Isn't and you
Tyler
missed.
Star?
Who's the Yeah, by name. You have 11 guys and you missed on 11 guys in one position. Here's what you didn't miss on 11 guys on the whole safeties linebacker. You missed 11 times on one position.
Way
to go. Way to go, Thomas Dimitrov. Way to go. And that's after you've been cutting D linemen. Because you cut D linemen this week and last week. How many D linemen did you bring in the camp?
That means they only had like 7 wide receivers and 15 D linemen, right?
Because they had to have more than 15. It's 11 on there now. They showed you 2 they cut this week. They probably cut more than that. And last week, remember they was cutting
nobody
D line. This guy done is Dimitrov. Holy cow, he's an asshole.
No, I say, he struck me as an asshole by sitting in those meetings. It was literally no reason for him to be sitting in the meeting.
He struck me as an asshole with them gay ass glasses and that funny style hair. He just struck me as an asshole. This roster is. You know what this roster is? An unemployment check. That's what this is. This is your resume. This is how you know. He got to be tired of being in Atlanta. He don't want to be here anymore. Not with this roster. Thank you.
So let's go on and do this. We're going to wrap up the Hard Knocks talk with this. We're going to do an MVP, an LVP, and a most underrated. And MVP always stands for most valuable player, but in this case, it's most valuable person. Least valuable person.
I'm sorry, I had to. Remember, we was searching for who was the other linebacker. We named Bartel Shimbo, and we named, of course, Paul Worlow, and of course, the great Tyler Starr. The one we didn't name was Nate Stuper. That's the linebacker we missed. Nate Stuper.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I hold you breeze. I hope they know I'm going to listen to this podcast.
I can't make this up. I cannot make this up. That's who we.
What you think Drew Brees said looking at that?
He probably licking his chop. You know what it's probably like raw meat in the lion's den. That's what they are. They about to put out. Well, we about to really put out some malarkey. On this football field, and here we go week one with mama. There goes that man.
Well, hold on. We're going to get to the picks part later, but Drew Brees may stay up extra later. His wife like, baby, don't you need to go to bed? Oh, it's just the Falcons. There's nobody but Tyler Starr.
Give me another beer.
Exactly.
Let me get another one. They, Who we got to play? Nate Stupor. That's who we have to look out for. Old Stoops. We're looking out for Stoops this week.
All right, so before we were interrupted, we were talking about we're going to name a most valuable person on the Hard Knocks show, a least valuable person on the Hard Knocks show, and most underrated on the Hard Knocks show. I'll let you go and start out with most underrated person.
Sorry, D. I'm having a hard time getting over Matt Stupor. Nate Stupor. Excuse me, I got his name. Nate Stupor. My most underrated person is Nate Stupor. I never seen him one play. Nate Stupor. He's my. Lord have mercy, we in trouble. Lord knows. My underrated. What was the question?
The most underrated person on the show.
It's hard to say underrated person on the show. We have so many people who are without rating. All of them just suck. So it's the least in, who was more entertaining, but you didn't really know it. Probably was Roddy White. He gave his few gems of his personality. He was slick trying to fuck over Harry with his old lady. Too much touching and rubbing and talking. He brought a little excitement to camp. I give him my least, most underrated.
Underrated person on Hard Knocks. I'm going to save mine for Keith Armstrong. Actually, I'm going to split mine. Keith Armstrong.
Don't say it, because one of them probably going to be your MVP.
Nah, Keith Armstrong and Arthur Blank. Keith Armstrong because of the tongue lashing.
Hold on, I want some of that Keith Armstrong. Because I don't. Not right here, I don't. Go ahead.
Keith Armstrong, he tongue lashed the players. He gave, who did he give them working at Mall of Georgia Line to? Was it Cupcake or somebody else?
Southwind? That was his
name. Southwind. I mean, he wasn't the star, but he may not have been the main ingredient, but he definitely was a supporting player. We like, is that cilantro? You definitely know it's in there and it tastes good. You know what I'm saying? Arthur Blank, just because Arthur Blank man had 20 words in the whole Hard Knocks, but we come down. It's whatever religious deity you believe in coming down to the earth right now.
He was moving like a hitman. He was gliding around and everybody, tighten up. Here the boss come. He was moving like a hitman. So I respect that.
And so the words he said were like, he said more without saying words, like his looks, like, you better know what you're doing for your sake, not mine.
Thank God for Arthur Blank and what he's going to have to do next
year. He seems like he's real adaptive. The same calls Mike Smith was making and Dimitrov was making.
I hope he sent it to them in text.
He looked like he's very apt at making those calls or whatever.
Of course.
Mike, come on in for a second. Don't worry about Tom. Mike, he's already here. It seems like he got that all in. With that being said, let's go on the slide to the least valuable player. Or the least valuable person on the show.
Corey Bierman. Every week, Corey Bierman. And even this week, he had a little bit of a, you've seen a glimpse of him in 71. They was talking about the pool. Corey Bierman and these pancake-ass white hoes they paraded back and forth into this thing. I think those are the they just got under my skin. Him and his leather-faced whore of a wife. These other pancake whores who they keep trying to show every week. And none other than Corey freaking Bierman.
This is going to be real short and sweet. I agree with you, Corey Bierman. Just the amazing amount of emphasis the Falcons put on him and the show put on him. Like, they're talking like it's Bruce Smith mixed with Reggie White and Steve McMichael. You think you got hell on wheels out here? He's definitely not that.
And did you see one sack? In any of this? Just no, one sack. Did you see one?
No.
They probably looked at Tyler Seifert like, you know what? You remind me a lot of Coy. That's why we got to have you, Tyler. You got a lot of Coy in you. Well, what is that? Absolutely nothing. What is a lot of... We got two of them now.
Well, Tyler Starr is just a special team for
we
this
have
year.
Two of them now. Because somebody get hurt. Somebody get hurt.
Nah, we'll call somebody up.
No, you let go Pat Anger. You know why? Because you trust him, Tyler Starr and Nate Stupor. That's who you trust. Who do you love? And y'all talking about running 3-4, and this is what you got in linebacker core. Good job. Once again, great job. Top man, Corey Beerman and them pancake ass whores, they really put the anchor around this thing. And then you can just see, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I guess they root for, I have no idea. I don't know. Because they do.
Why Matt Ryan don't get any votes for least valuable person on this show?
Well, you know, Matt was Matt. You know what he's going to bring. Matt wasn't all in the camera.
It's just like dating a bookworm girl and get mad because she bored.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't focus on him. They focused on Corey Beerman, Tyler Starr, 45. First off, they focus on a whole gang of nothing, nobody, no talented motherfuckers. And a star motherfucker named Rashid Hagerman.
Let me ask you this, Calhoun. Do you think he gonna be good or you think he gonna be shitty?
He got shitty. He got bust written all over him. Then you gotta check his judgment. He gonna get a massage from a bitch. You thinking, if I would have got a massage, you a young millionaire in Atlanta, you would have been like, who is that bitch massaging him? Instead, you looking at her like, hey, who is this bitch massaging him? He getting a massage from fucking Geraldine. Could have had a mean bitch. I don't know what's up with these niggas, man. That's what the focus of the show was. The coaches stole the show. The focus was them. So, and then they just, week after week, like 2 or 3 weeks, the focus was Corey Beerman. Hey, first day you got to get it in. Hey, Corey, you want to do this? Then they show him against, who was that? Was it the Texans or the Titans? When he doesn't get the sack, and says, woo!
The Titans, we get blocked.
I almost got it, man. Please. I'm about to break his back so we can just end this relationship. They already caught him in bed. It's like you got a girl. You caught her in bed, you take her back. She messed over you with your friend, you take her back. She stole your money, you take her back. Chad, please, run away from me because I don't have the power for you. To drop you. Just let them. But you know what? Once again, let me calm down. Because next year, we won't have to worry about these problems.
So let easily that slides to the most valuable player.
Oh, I have a co-MVP. My co-MVP? No, I have a trio. This is a nice menage a trois. Keith Armstrong. The reason why he is in this and not like an honorable mention, he had the best footage of the show, all five shows. That he owned it, coach. That one speech that he did, that how he was acting at the game, especially good, good, how he was acting. He's so amped up. He has the best footage of all the shows. Second to him is Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson wasn't in a lot, but when he was in, it was key moments. He made great plays. He was a playmaker, if you will. He's not a wide receiver. He's not a running back. He's a playmaker. He made the right plays. But the paid man and Tom Brady of this ship, not Matt Ryan, the paid man and Tom Brady of this ship was Brian Cox. I tip my hat to him. Without Brian Cox, this would have been a snooze fest. Brian Cox made Hard Knocks for the Falcons. He all we got. CMB. He was the greatest part of it. And I just hope he lasts long enough because smoking them cigars, his expiration day is coming. But he got to be the MVP.
Brian Cox was the MVP by far. Just really, I think he's the only one out of the coaches who he shows you his personal side. We can go week for week and name something he did. This week, talking about the cigars and his wife basically make him take showers because of the cigars. Last week, he reeled off every black movie the past 15 years and said Best Man Holiday was one of the best movies ever. The week before, he talked about he only drank Budweiser beer.
It's nonstop with the guy. He give you gold.
Yeah, he's just being himself.
And every time, he's giving you gold. So, he has to be by far the MVP. But I think it's two other guys who's going to go ahead and get in the ring a little bit with him. Because without that kid, that Armstrong, the way he went off, that was the best
thing. It was magical.
Man, we got enough people doing that shit. You got a yellow jacket? Do you start? Are you a pro bowler? Too good for it. He went biblical. I loved it. The coach asked me, what'd you think about America? He don't want it, coach. Right here in your face. So I think, which by the way, I think that was the best episode.
No, that definitely was the best episode. I guess that'll be the way we ended. The best episode was episode 4.
Terry Biscuit. Y'all keep talking
about pretty those motherfuckers, yeah.
And pretty motherfuckers gonna get me fired. I got something for him. Brian Cox talking about Rashid Hageman. You're standing up dancing. Y'all look like y'all just hold each other dicks. You run around here, look at you. You run like you the jailhouse bitch. That what you gonna do?
So Mike Smith, guys. Oh, what did Tony have, guys?
I tell you what you saw. Is you see why they were so soft. That is no. Look at how Mike Smith was doing the whole time. Mike Smith is just wet tissue soft.
Double R said he gonna join us for the picks and part of the picks and kicks. He said it best. He's just a nice guy.
And we don't need that as a coach, especially when you already have a team full of nice guys because you choose not to draft or pick up any guys with grit. So with that, you don't need a guy who's, hey, excuse me, and then another guy behind him like, oh, I'm sorry, did he just go by you? I'm so sorry. Can I go by too? You don't need that. You need somebody to give somebody an elbow and be like, well, what the fuck you looking at? And we don't have that anyway, and we finally got that with Mike Tice and Cox. And Lord knows we need it when you have people like Nate Stuper and linebacker. You got to have it.
All right, so thanks, Dan Awards. Glad Hard Knocks is over. Hope the Falcons don't do this again. Thank
God it's over. It was really, really boring.
All right, Double R, thanks for joining us. Right before we get to the picks and kicks, I just wonder your real thoughts on the Falcons Hard Knocks. This was the season finale. I just want you to tell me who was your most underrated person on the show.
Most underrated probably was my guy, what's his name?
Cupcake.
Yeah, I was kind of pissed off. Like, how Cupcake get cut and this fucking star make the team? He didn't do shit. All
right. What about your who your least valuable person on the show was?
Fucking Star.
Oh, man. Not Corey Beerman?
Corey Beerman sucked, but it got to be Star. Like, I'm still wondering how the fuck did he make the team? Mike Smith told him at the end, you need to work on a lot of stuff. But he's going to tell him, Cupcake, yeah, you're doing good, just a number day. Kind of pissed me off with that one.
You know, we looked at it. They got 11 D linemen.
Tyler Starr plays linebacker, though.
That's why they had That's why they cut Cupcake. I don't want to talk about it no more.
All right, so who's your MVP on the show, Double R?
MVP probably fucking Roddy.
Oh, it ain't Brian Cox.
I like Brian Cox too, but no, I gotta go with my boy Armstrong. I like Armstrong. He's a character. He might be Coach Johnson. May he rest in peace.
Yeah, I put Armstrong as my most underrated. Calhoun gave him a little head for most valuable. Armstrong, he may not have been that consistent 20-point a night, but he gave you some 60s and some 70s when he was on. When he was on, he was on.
He had the highlight of the show.
Yeah. Let's transition to picks and kicks. So let's start off with Seattle at Green Bay. So we do two picks. We do the straight up who going to win, and then we pick the line. All right, so first game is Packers at Seattle.
Ooh.
I like Seattle at home.
Hold on, the line is Seattle by 6.
I don't know if they cover 6. I think it'll be a close game. They'll win by 3.
All right, so you got Seahawks winning, but by 3, right?
Yeah.
So you got Seahawks winning, but don't take the line. Don't bet that line.
I wouldn't bet that line.
What about you, Calhoun?
Let's all take a grain of salt and know that all three of us is picking the first week, and we haven't seen anyone. So before we go into, you know, just let's put that out there. I'm going to go ahead and pick Seahawks at home. I got to. They beat them once before. They'll beat them again with a replacement Russ, of course. The line, I don't know. I think it's going to be a good one. I wouldn't take the line.
The only reason I say Seattle win, this is Darren speaking, is because of that crowd getting their rings amped up on the first night. I think Seattle wins, but I think Aaron Rodgers is good enough to keep it close too, so I don't bet that line either. So that's the Thursday night game. So I say
for me, the final score would be something like 20-17 or 21-17, something like that. So it feels like a 3-4 point game. All right, start off Sunday. First Sunday game at 1 o'clock is the Saints at our Falcons, and the line is New Orleans by 3.
I like the Falcons by 3.
You got the Falcons winning by 3? I got the Falcons winning, too. So both of us saying don't bet that money line. Who you got?
The Saints, and they cover.
You got the Saints, and they cover.
And they cover.
Say your name so everybody know who it is.
I don't want to say my name. I'm not going to say. I'm Mr. Anonymous. This is Mr. Anonymous, and it's my first podcast. Hello, everybody in digital Darren world. I am picking the Saints.
Oh, man. All right, so the next 1 o'clock game is the Vikings at the Rams. No Michael Sam for St. Louis.
So they win. Mike Sam was going to make a difference.
Who you got winning, Calhoun?
The Rams win.
The line in St. Louis by 3.5, so you think they win by 4?
Yep. I think they cover the line.
All right. Double R?
Let me ask y'all this. Who is the Ram quarterback going into this game?
Sean Hill. I just heard about him.
God damn, buddy. Two suck games. I guess the Rams. I don't want to bet with Sean Hill, but I guess it's going to be a running attack.
You think St. Louis going to win by 4?
I think they'll win a close one by 3 or by 2.
All right, so yeah, you wouldn't bet the line. All right, this Darren. I think the Vikings win. Adrian Peterson is the best player on the field. When you don't know either one of the team's quarterbacks, you go with the best player on the field. I got the Vikings winning.
Let me retract my statement. I don't cover the line.
Rams win a close one.
Yeah, not no damn Sean here.
This Darren, I got the Vikings winning. So I'm saying the Vikings win. The other two guys are saying the Rams win. And none of us are saying that's a good line to make money on. All right, Browns and Steelers. Line is Pittsburgh by 7.
I'll take that.
I take that too. I think Pittsburgh win by 9. Yeah, Browns can't beat them. Brian Hoyer at quarterback. Might as well be Darren Walters at quarterback. So.
Darren Walters have a better day.
Exactly. So Jags at Eagles. The line is Philly by 10.5.
So they start off early, dicking your team that you got 8-8.
I just said they go 8-8, yeah.
Here go the first loss.
All right, I'll start off. I got Philly winning, but I got them winning by – they don't win by 10 – they don't win by 11 points. So they don't cover the line, but they do win the game, the Eagles. That's there.
I got Philly winning the game, and they cover the line. They might beat them by 14.
Ooh. That's a big – it's hard to have a double digit. We did this last year where they had the highest line ever, and – of course, Denver didn't cover that. It's hard to cover a double-digit line.
I got the Eagles, but I don't know 10.5 first week all that jazz. Wow, but if not, I don't cover 10.5.
The Jags aren't that bad.
Well, they are that bad, but their defense is not that good.
They're not good. 10.5, saying they're going to win by 11 or more is a huge line in the NFL.
Put your nuts on the table. I'd take them by 14, but I say take the line. They'll cover the line.
All right, well, that's you bet your money on that line. I hold my money on the next line. The next line is the Raiders at the Jets, and the Jets are a 5.5 point favorite. So they're going to win by 6 or better.
Geno starting?
Who's starting for the Raiders?
Carr.
So we both say, I say that this Darren, I say the Jets win, but they don't cover.
I said the same.
Double up.
I say the Jets win, but they're not going to cover that line.
So we all agree the Jets win, but nobody covers.
True.
All right, the next 1 o'clock game, Bengals at the Ravens.
Ooh. Look at that line. Baltimore by 1.
Baltimore by 1. So they saying those teams pretty even. Mm. Really, Cincinnati may be a tad better. It's hard to do this on the first week. This is a game that's real hard to pick on the first week of the season.
It's a game that counts to a conference game.
Yeah, they stuck them out there. Oh, you ain't say that when it was the Falcons and the Saints. That game count.
No, it's a rivalry game.
The Steelers and Browns, they messed the AFC division up first week, didn't they? Threw them right in the fire. I go to Bengals.
I'm with you, Cal. I go to Bengals.
I go with Joe Flacco.
Okay.
And I do think, of course, Baltimore covered that minus one line. I think Baltimore wins by a field goal.
Okay.
And Andy Dalton is a $100 million quarterback.
They throwing that around these days. That's just like saying that's a fat ass. It's a lot of
them. They manufacturing them now.
They coming off the assembly line. They're not tailored anymore.
All right, so Bills at the Bears. The line is Chicago by 7.
They cover it. I'm going to Chicago, and I'm going with the 7.
I say Chicago by 10.
Damn. I say Chicago, but I don't know if they cover the line.
You don't think they hang 7 on the Bills?
They win by 7? No. They good, but not that good. Jay Cutler, he'll throw 4 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
Jay will do it, but I think they beat the Bills.
Then they beat them by more than 7, by 8. All right. Next 1 o'clock game. There's a lot of goddamn 1 o'clock games. The Redskins at the Texans.
I like RG3 in that game.
Woo! See, I don't like RG3, but I don't like the Texans quarterback.
Yeah, go with Fitzpatrick. I can't go with him. You know, the Texans got a good defense, but...
But Calhoun made a good point last week. Kirk Cousins is out playing RG3 as we speak.
Really?
Yeah. How many games do RG3 get the fuck up before they go to Kirk Cousins?
He got the whole season.
They gave the franchise. They gave the keys to the franchise to him, so they got to ride with him this year.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere.
All right, so I think I'm going to go with double R. I think RG3 win.
I'm going with the Texans.
How many you think they win by? So you a betting line then. You think they win by 3 or more?
I'll give them a field goal. I don't think it'd be 1 or 2. I'll give them a field goal.
2 questions. Do the Redskins change their name without this public pressure? And if so, the over under years it takes to change the name?
I don't think they changed the name. I think it's too much of ego for Snyder.
Okay.
To change it.
Calhoun?
Hell no, over his dead body. Let him keep banging the drum and smoking that pipe.
He tried out some Indians.
Yeah, last what year. About these guys? They like the name. Get your whole tribe together, Chief.
And all you gotta
change the Redskins, change the Chiefs.
And then all you gotta do is throw the reservation like 100,000. They'll
come on, man. Give them a few beers and some chips, and they'll be gambling chips. They all in.
All right, so the next 1 o'clock game, the Titans at the Chiefs. Line is KC by 4. I take that line. I think KC wins by a touchdown.
I'm with you. I take KC.
It's unanimous.
Cover the line.
It's unanimous.
Real quick, name 3 players on Tennessee team.
Jake Locker.
He suck.
The runner at Swanky. What's the running back name? Swanky?
Bishop Sankey.
Bishop Sankey.
Oh, and where they got Pollard at safety.
That's it. That was a reach, too. I'm not going to lie. We watch football. That's a reach. Next. Don't say name 4.
All right, you got the Patriots at the Dolphins. The line is New England by 5.
They cover.
I take it.
Yeah, this Tanner Hill swan song, I take it, too. Patriots win by 10. This is Darren speaking. All right, so we start the 425 games. Only 2 425 games. They kind of shitted on us with that. But first one is the Panthers at the Bucks. The line is Tampa Bay by 1.5.
Ooh, that's going to be. Again.
Carolina by 1.5.
Boy, again, it's that first week shit. Y'all know what everybody's trying out. I take Carolina, though, so I'm going to go with Carolina. You pick.
I'm going to go Carolina, and I think, so of course, I'm going Carolina. Tampa Bay won't win by 1.5, so.
I'm going to go Carolina.
Over under total points for this game is 39.5. Do you think they score 40 points combined?
Hell no.
I think they might be a drag out.
This ain't like a 20-17 game or 17-14 game, something like that, y'all. All right, so the next 425 game is the 49ers at the Cowboys.
Niners.
Do they cover? The line is San Francisco by 5. Do they cover?
I'll take it.
Yeah.
This Darren. I have the Cowboys winning, and I had the Cowboys winning by 7.
Why do you like the Cowboys so much?
He sucked them off royally for the last few years.
Y'all always talking about Romo. Why?
It's a combination. I like Romo, but I don't like the 49ers. Dude just beat his pregnant girlfriend up on Monday.
Why you want to bring? Come on.
I'm saying there's a lot of distractions going on.
We're not
on
bringing
right
in
now.
The digital Darren podcast where the guy did with his. Hey, we don't know what happened in the show.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying it's a distraction. You got to keep hearing people say something about it. I got the Cowboys winning by 7.
They about to get Michael Sam. What's more of a distraction than that?
Good point. I got the Cowboys winning by 6.
And then they got Jerry Jones. He is the distraction of the league.
I still got the Cowboys winning.
You just like him. I believe Tony Romo Sandusky at you.
Oh shit. All right, so the late night game, the 8:30 game, the Colts at the Broncos. The line is Denver by 8.
They cover.
I say Denver, I don't know, by 8. They might win by 7.
Pay man, it covers.
Night game, this Darren speaking. They could have made this line 18, and I still think Peyton Manning couple. So I got Denver winning big. I feel like this is a 45-20 score type game or whatever.
Oh,
so.
No, I can't say that. The Colts ain't that bad.
Colts were down by 25, and the Colts were down by 25 to the Chiefs in the playoffs. So you can get up on them.
Hey, they beat Denver last year. Denver were up by what?
I just think this one of the first game, they're going to be super focused to prove a point. Seattle's already played, so they're going to be trying to show what they can do or whatever. So I think this is a statement game for the Broncos.
You see what they're saying the score is going
to be? The total score is going to be 56 points. Yeah, they break that easily. Denver may score that by themselves.
Yeah, they're going to go in for the gusto.
Yeah.
Say by Wes Walker, is he playing?
Nah, he's suspended for four games.
For some dope, for some drugs.
Yeah, amphetamine, so.
Lick it. Pop the Molly, he sweat. Woo! That's what's going around the league, ain't
it? Yeah. All right, the two Monday night games, the Giants and the Lions.
Ooh, it's nice.
Lions Detroit by 5.5. I got Detroit winning by 6, so they call.
I would bet that. Eli, them little hard.
Yeah, I would bet that 2 times over.
I almost wanted to go in another podcast to change my NFC East pick. I think Detroit wins this game, though.
And I might, title or easy?
Detroit wins this game. Oh, the NFC East, I might want Philly now. I'm going with Philly. That last podcast, scratch that. I'm going with Philly.
Nah, you already on record saying Giants.
Well, now I'm on record again. So if one of them win, I'm going to be right.
All right. The last game, Chargers at the Cardinals.
Another good one.
I like San Diego.
The line is 3.5, Arizona, so you're not going to bet the line.
I like the Cardinals.
I like the Cardinals, too, but I don't like 3.5. I think they win by a field goal.
I think they win by 3. I don't like the line. I like the Cardinals.
Yeah. So, straight up, me and Calhoun saying the Cardinals, Double R saying the Chargers. Of course, all of us are saying don't bet the money line for that one. Mm-hmm. All right, so that wrap up week one real quick.
There's a lot of great games in week one. These two on Monday night, I think the Colts and the Broncos are going to be good, I think. I hope we make it a game at the Dome.
Give me a score for the Falcons game.
28-24.
Saints. Double R, give me a score for the Falcons game.
I'm saying 24-21 Falcons.
I'm saying 24-17 Falcons.
I hope so. Hey, I wanted to go like y'all said. I do, but for... Hey, I'm trying to get the belt this year.
That's a good way to wrap up. For people who didn't know, last year Lynn himself got the Picks and Kicks belt for college. So we have a Picks and Kicks.
I don't know what I'm
doing,
so.
Well, he was going against me, so we're going to give him that. We're going to have a Picks and Kicks belt for the pros, too. Everybody who get their picks in going to be in. As long as you do 20 picks, you should be cool. So.
Yeah, I agree because I didn't even know it was a Picks and Kicks belt until he was, I got the belt. All right. You went against the man in the mirror.
You went against yourself. You should win.
We kicking it off this year with beef early.
Yeah, I see that.
Podcast beef.
Everybody, this is hashtag Falcons Football Week. So this will be the second and now Falcons Football Week, Rise Up Week podcast. Look, go back and listen to the first one. Double R and myself pick the Falcons record. You'll be surprised to hear what we say the record's going to be. We're going to replay the Falcons errors. From last year where we talked about the different areas of Falcons football. We also going to do the Thomas Dimitroff report card. So just a couple of fun podcasts for Falcons football week. We're going to have Ferguson coming up, too, on a whole nother subject. Real fun talk. It's a lot of mature language in there. Make sure you get ready for that one. And without any further ado, football is back. Thank you guys for listening. Again, football is back. Good luck to everybody on their fantasy leagues. This is Digital Darren. We're going to take over our fantasy league. Thank you guys for listening. Check out Falcons Football Week and Rise Up Week. We hashtag stuff on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Rise Up Week, Falcons Football Week. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
And one more thing, fans. If you out and about on Sunday, please come to Stacks and get on live podcast with us with Digital Darren. And also, go to Facebook, RTRENT.com, and check out the tailgate from last year.